This past week, Matt and I had the privilege of joining together with our colleagues in the Diocese of California for our annual clergy retreat at the Bishop's Ranch. And one of our colleagues decided that he wanted to do an art project that would be used in the liturgy on Thursday night. And so he gathered together a few people, and during our free time, they worked on this project, and then he hung it up in Swing Pavilion, where we would be worshiping that night. It looked a little bit like a dream catcher, and so they named it as such, and they encouraged people. We were given little pieces of trees, little pieces of wood, and they encouraged people to go up and tie these little pieces of wood onto the dream catcher as we were taking communion. During the end of our conference, after the bishop had dismissed us, after all the announcements had been made, we only had lunch left to go. Many of our colleagues had already departed. I noticed that one of my other colleagues had stood up. And as the crowd milled around her, we all became more still as she began to speak. And she said, I want to say that I am uncomfortable. That we have spent several days talking about racism, about colonialism, about all the ways in which oppression manifests in our church, and yet we have been doing it all under this dream catcher, which is being used in a way that the Native American culture didn't, and by a culture that we do not represent. And she turned to face our colleague who had created this piece of art and said, I make no assumptions about your intentions, and I assume that they were good. But the impact of this is problematic to me. And if anyone would like to discuss this further, they can come join my table at lunch. And then it was silent. And we departed to lunch. I was worried then that what had been broken after several days of being together had ended in this uncomfortable moment. I was worried because essentially everything was over. How would we have time to put it back together? And so before I left, I went to go find my colleague who had created the dream catcher. And I found him in Swing Pavilion. He had taken down the dream catcher, and it was on the ground, and he had scissors and all that around him, but instead he was methodically untying each knot. As myself and two others sat down with him, we asked if we could join him. He said that he wanted this to be a meditative exercise, that he was thinking through what had happened. And so after a bit, our colleague who had raised her concern came and joined us after lunch. And all of us sat around this dream catcher untying little knots. And he shared with her, quite honestly, that he was upset with her for the way that she had handled this, that he felt shame in front of all of our colleagues, and that it made him uncomfortable and upset. And she apologized and said that that wasn't her intent at all, that she just had this so on her heart. She was so upset after all of our conversations to have been seated under this thing which seemed so antithetical to what we had been discussing. And he said, yes, I agree. It was supposed to be a tree, actually. But we didn't get enough people come to the art project, and so it turned into this other thing, and I felt uncomfortable, and I wondered about it, and so I went and asked a few of our other diocesan colleagues and folks, and they said, well, we think it's okay, and so they went forward with it. And she said, yes, I can see that. I can see now that the things hanging down from it are really more roots than they are like a dream catcher. And he said, you know, and I want to apologize too, because I'm coming down with a cold and I really didn't sleep at all last night. And so my reaction and my tears and my shame, that's not really how I wish I had reacted. Because in my church, we are also trying to have hard conversations, and I, as their rector, are trying to lead them through that. And I wish that I had been able to respond differently in that moment. And we continued untying the knots, pulling the strings that connected the pieces, quietly reflecting, sharing, being honest. I was humbled by the ways in which we were brought back together, in which they, in their humility, in their willingness to listen, were able to find that commonality once again, were able to come back together. Brother James Koester from the Society of St. John the Evangelist writes, "The truth of baptism is revealed in what it does and who it shows us to be, cleansing us not from dirt, but from separation. Separation from God, separation from ourselves, separation from one another. In baptism, as we will do today, we start off by renouncing the ways of evil, in other words, the things that put us on a path that is not leading us towards the love of God. We repent of the things that separate us from this love which yearns to draw us in. In baptism, we are named as Christ's own forever and called to remember that truth. And when we forget, which we inevitably do, we who are gathered here and hear these promises and make these promises alongside the baptized are called to remind them. To remind them that we are cleansed not from dirt, but from separation. And as our gospel shows us, this way of Jesus, this way of being together is difficult. So often we adults find ourselves more like the disciples on the road, arguing about who is the greatest, arguing from a place of our own ego. We are so very human. And yet Jesus stops them, takes them aside, and reminds them that the following the way of Jesus looks far more like the love of a child, simple and unencumbered by the wombs of the world. What we looked like before we saw that humans could hurt one another, what our trust looked like before it had been broken, what our hearts knew before the world made us slowly forget, what Claire and Rhett know now. Some might call that naivete, but Jesus calls it his own way. That serving one another without regard for reward or recognition is in fact our truest worship, is the way to follow Jesus. And as my colleagues reminded me, this service, this being connected is a choice. And living into these baptismal vows is difficult It requires honesty, forgiveness, hard conversations. That serving each other sometimes requires us to sit in our discomfort and to hear hard truths. And that is precisely the work that Jesus calls us into. I must say that it was so much easier to wander the grounds of the ranch alone than sit in this room with all my colleagues for 2 days. But it was holiness that showed up in what looked like undoing. It was grace that met us when we thought we had broken something beyond repair. And it is baptism that calls us all to turn away from our own fragile egos and turn back toward God with humility and tenderness. This same reconciliation, truth-telling, and repentance is so needed in our own country now, isn't it? We find ourselves hearing hard truths about sexual assault and violence, and apologies, repentance, is often so needed and so lacking. And yet to me, my colleague's witness is a light to me in hard times. That truth can be told, and that healing can be possible. We pray that it is possible, and we remain connected. In this baptism, we are knit into the mysterious and beautiful communion of saints in heaven and on earth, through dying, raised to new life, through undoing, becoming. And so today, joining with Rhett and Claire, let us remember our baptisms. Remember the promise of Christ, and feel our deep connectedness to God and each other. As the letter of James says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Amen.